Ezekiel chapter number 14, and we're going to begin reading there in verse number 14. If you found it, can you stand together with me? And it'll be just before the book of Daniel, if that helps you at all. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verses 14 down through the end of the chapter. We're going to read there together. Ezekiel 14, verses 14 through 23. The Bible says here, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. God is saying, you can take this land and you can have some godly men in this land. You can have some good men in this land. I mean, if you had Noah in the land, who what the Lord commanded, so did he, the Bible says. Noah, a man who, though the whole world was going away from God and had wicked hearts and so on, every man was doing that which was just evil in the sight of God during the days of Noah. But Noah stood true to God. You could have Noah in the earth. You could have Daniel in the earth, who did right, who loved God, who was willing to be true to God, even a society around him that did not. You could have Noah. You could have Daniel. You could have Job. The Bible says a man who did justly, a man who walked uprightly, who loved God and eschewed or hated evil. I mean, you could have Job walking in the earth, a righteous man, a godly man. But just them alone is not going to spare everybody else. They have chosen to live righteous and they have chosen to live godly, but they've chosen to fear God and love God and live godly for themselves. They've chosen to live a certain kind of life, and that affects them. They've made their decision to believe in God and follow God, and that affects them. They've made their decision to walk in righteousness and walk in truth and love God, and that affects them so that they will have the blessing of God. But that doesn't guarantee anything for their children. That doesn't guarantee anything for their grandchildren. That they've made their decision. But understand, that doesn't determine the fate or the destiny or whether there's blessing or not upon everybody else. They've lived righteous unto themselves. It's affect them that God will bless them. But it doesn't mean that God won't withhold His judgment on a society when there's wickedness all around. Verse number 17. Or if I, God says, bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land so that I cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Their righteousness will deliver themselves. It's because of Noah's righteousness and so on that he was spared from the flood, wasn't he? His children were spared from the flood. Why? Because here was a family that loved God, but that didn't mean everybody else got spared. Verse number 19. Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Daniel and Noah and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Verse 21. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings. And ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when ye shall see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause, without a reason. I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd use your word this morning to speak to our hearts, to challenge us, to help us. Help us to have a yielded heart, yielded spirit, to listen to what your Holy Spirit tries to speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I ask you this question this morning. Are you holding on to the coattails of somebody else? Are you trying to ride on the coattails of maybe your father or your mother or a grandparent? Are you trying to hold on to the spiritual coattails this morning, if you will, of a pastor or somebody else in your life? Listen, according to these verses, you and I cannot just hold on to the coattails, the spiritual coattails, if you will, of our parent. You or I cannot hold on to the spiritual coattails of our pastor. You and I cannot hold on to the coattails of somebody else. And because of their righteousness, or because of their love for God, or because they know God, or they know Christ, or they're saved, expect that, well, because of that, I'm saved. Or because they were a Christian, I'm a Christian. Or because they love God, that guarantees, you know, everything about my life. Each generation for themselves, each individual for themselves, has to choose to love God and follow God. Here we read in these verses, and it mentions these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. They were just men. They were good men. They were godly men. They were faithful men. They were righteous men. They were spiritual men who walked with God. But the Bible makes it very clear that an entire generation is not spared because of their righteousness. Or the generation coming after them, their sons and their daughters, the Bible talks about, they are not spared, or they are not blessed, or they are not, because of the righteousness of the parent. Each generation for themselves, each individual for themselves, must choose to love God and live for God. Your preacher's faith, your pastor's faith, your parent's faith cannot save you. It cannot save you. We're going to come back to Ezekiel maybe later, but over in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, notice what the Bible says in John 1 and verse number 12. I want you to see this morning, that you must be saved by your own faith. You personally must be justified. You personally must be born again, a child of God. You must have Christ's righteousness applied to your record. It doesn't matter what, well, my parents were righteous, or my parents loved God, or my parents, or my dad, or my mom, or whoever. They were a Christian. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to choose. You will only be saved by your own faith and your own personal decision. In John chapter 1, beginning there in verse number 12, look at that. John 1, verse 12 and 13. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Who is it that becomes the sons and daughters of God? Who is it that becomes the children of God? It's those that personally, for themselves, they make a decision. They choose. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They trust Him as their personal Savior. And by their own faith, they are saved. Because you choose to receive Him, because you choose to believe on Christ, that's the only way that you're saved. And can I tell you, that's the only way that your children or grandchildren can be saved. That's the only way that your neighbors can be saved. They personally must choose Christ. Everybody on Amaryllis Street is not saved and on their way to heaven because they happen to have a pastor for a neighbor. No, they have to choose to trust God and believe on God and believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ. There's not some, well, just because of the righteousness of a few, it means that, well, the children are righteous. Or because someone's a Christian, well, then the children or grandchildren, they're a Christian. They're a child of God. No, every generation must choose. Every person must choose. Notice what the next verse says. You know, we're talking about being born again, becoming the sons and daughters of God, children of God. It says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We're not a Christian because of family bloodlines. You know, my children are not a Christian, well, because they grew up in a pastor's home. They're not a Christian because, well, they happen to have a dad who's a Christian. Every generation must choose, every person must choose to believe on Christ and receive Him as their personal Savior. It's not a blood. It doesn't matter family bloodlines. It doesn't matter what country you were born into, if you're a supposedly Christian nation, anything like that. People must choose for themselves. Your preacher's faith, your pastor's faith, your parents' faith won't save you. Your preacher's righteousness or your parents' righteousness won't help you at the judgment seat of Christ. When you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ one day, listen, it doesn't matter what your mom did. Even if you had a godly mother or a praying mother or a mother who loved God and a mother who served God, their righteousness is not in any way going to somehow bring blessing to you when you stand before God. When you stand before God, you stand before God to give account for yourself. Every one of us. So then every one of us must give account. We can't get to claim, well, can I kind of get a little here because of my parents' righteousness? Or my mom's righteousness? Or my dad's righteousness? Or my pastor's righteousness? Or so-and-so's righteousness? No, it must be personal. You must have lived righteous. If you want the rewards of God at the judgment seat of Christ, if you want to hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, it's determined by your own righteousness. Your own righteousness. We talked this morning in Sunday school about having a walk with God and a relationship with God. Your preacher's walk with God, your pastor's walk with God, your parents' walk with God, or their spirituality, if I can say it like that, that won't make you spiritual. You could have a mom that gets up every morning and reads her Bible. You could have a dad that prays every day. You could have a parent that reads their Bible, that walks with God. You could have a parent that knows God, that talks to God. You could have parents that trust God. You could have a pastor that trusts God. You can have a pastor that reads his Bible. You can have a pastor that studies God's Word. But listen, that doesn't make you spiritual. It's not just somehow an errant thing or an inherited thing that, you know, well, because of my parents' righteousness or because of my pastor's righteousness or because of their spirituality or their walk with God, that somehow that just flows to me that I kind of get in on it. You must be spiritual. You must walk with God. We sometimes say that people are second generation Christians or third generation Christians, maybe because they had parents who truly knew the Lord Jesus Christ and they were born again. They were followers of Jesus Christ. Or maybe third generation, you know, grandparents and then their parents and then them in their own life. So they're third generation Christians. Somebody who was maybe reared in a Christian home and someone who's now an adult. You know, one of the sad things that we sometimes see is the lack of spirituality among second generation Christians. The lack of spirituality among second or third generation Christians. Listen, it doesn't matter how spiritual your parents or grandparents were. And other way around, it doesn't matter if you had parents or grandparents that were as ungodly as all get out. You for yourself in this generation can choose God and choose to walk righteously and choose to walk with God and choose to love God and choose to serve God. But I don't somehow inherit a particular blessing, or I didn't just become a Christian because my parents were Christians and my grandparents were Christians. I don't have God's blessing on my life. I do in certain ways, but I don't directly have God's blessing and reward one day in heaven because, well, my parents were righteous. Because they walked with God and loved God and served God, that's going to mean that when I stand before God at the judgment seat, there's rewards waiting for me simply because my parents were righteous. Or my grandparents, they loved God. And they did things to serve God. That doesn't just make it mine. Sometimes it happens that second or third generation Christians, they attended church regularly while growing up. Sometimes they were even privileged to go to a Christian school. Because of the spirituality of their parents, many times a second generation Christian will have the mentality that they inherited the righteousness and Christianity of their parents. But I want you to understand something this morning. Righteousness and spirituality and faith and Christianity, it cannot be inherited. It's not inherited. These are conditions of the heart. These are actions that previous generations, they cannot just automatically give to you. If your parents love God, that doesn't mean that you love God. If your parents walked with God, that doesn't mean that you walk with God. If your parents were Christian, that doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You've got to choose. You've got to be righteous. You've got to be spiritual. You've got to have a heart that loves God. Back in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 18 and verse number 20. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of father, and neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Listen, righteousness and spirituality, or wickedness, conversely, they're not just a guarantee from one generation to the next. If you grew up in a situation where, you know, your parents weren't godly and they didn't know the Lord and they weren't Christians, or they were supposed to be Christians but they didn't really live like it, they didn't act like it, that doesn't mean you have to act like that. That doesn't mean you have to be like that. You can choose for yourself to love God and live for God. Even if you had parents that they were righteous and they were godly and they were spiritual and they obviously followed the Lord, and there's evidence of that and spiritual fruit that shows to that, that doesn't guarantee anything for you. That doesn't mean that you're spiritual or righteous just because they are, or they were. This verse makes it clear that you cannot inherit righteousness. The only way that you can be righteous is by living a righteous life. Your parents' righteousness cannot be passed along to you. You could have a pastor who's a spiritual man, but that doesn't mean that you're spiritual. You know, I had the privilege of having some wonderful pastors in my lifetime. I'm thankful for them. Pastor Pennell is going to come to the renewal of our wedding vows in a couple weeks. He was the best man in my wedding. And I love him. He's a dear man, a godly man, a faithful man. But you know what? I don't have any ounce of spirituality because he was a spiritual man. I'm just not automatically faithful because he was faithful. I'm not godly because he was godly. I had a wonderful mentor. I had a wonderful example in my life. But you know something? I, for myself, had to choose to love God. I had to choose to be faithful. I had to choose to say, I'm going to stay at this thing. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to love the Lord. I want to lead my family to love the Lord. You could have had the privilege or blessing of maybe having somebody who went before you who was spiritual or righteous or godly, but that doesn't make you righteous. That doesn't make you spiritual or you godly. Being a member of a church does not mean that you're spiritual. Being a member of a church does not mean that you're spiritual. You could sit in church every Sunday, but that doesn't mean that you're spiritual. Throughout my lifetime, I've had the privilege of being a part of some great churches. However, just because I've been a member of some churches does not mean that I'm spiritual, or does not mean, listen, that I'm righteous. You, for yourself, have to choose to live a spiritual life and live a righteous life. My spirituality and righteousness is completely reliant upon how I live and what I do with Christ. Do you understand that? My spirituality, your spirituality, your righteousness is completely reliant upon how you live and what you do with Christ. You know, just because you were born in a Christian nation, that doesn't make you a Christian. It's not being born in a Christian nation that makes you a Christian. I've met people that have been so determined. We're Christians because, you know, we're Arminian. So we're Christians. We've always been Christians. Every generation of us has been Christians because, you know, we're Arminian. That doesn't make you a Christian. I could be born in a car. That wouldn't make me a car, would it? No. Just because you're born in a supposed Christian nation, that doesn't make you a Christian. You have to choose. You have to decide. You have to believe on God and trust Jesus Christ. Having the benefit of living in the same home with someone who is righteous doesn't make you a good or righteous person. Having the benefit of maybe growing up in the home of someone who they knew the Lord and they were saved, that doesn't mean that you're saved. You have to choose. You need to realize something. Your righteousness is dependent upon how you live. Your righteousness is dependent upon how you live. What others before you have done, that doesn't make you what they are. You may have had a generation, and I'm thankful for a godly heritage. I'm thankful that I had a godly father. I'm thankful that I had a godly mother and godly grandparents who loved the Lord. But that didn't make me godly. They may have been a Christian, but that didn't make me a Christian. I had to choose for myself to become a Christian, to believe on Christ, to believe the truth. Just because they were righteous doesn't make me righteous. I have to choose to live righteously and walk with the Lord. If others before you lived righteously, if others before you lived unrighteously, by the same token, that doesn't have to affect you either. You can decide to live righteously by not living like they did. If others before you lived a righteous life, you must still decide for yourself to live a righteous life because it's not something that's inherited. You are responsible. I want you to have this ring true in your heart today. Remember it in your heart. You are responsible for your own actions. You're responsible for your own life. I'm responsible for my own life. I can't stand before God one day and claim, well, my parents were righteous. I had such a good mother. I had such a godly mother. No, you need to be godly. You need to love the Lord. Sometimes people like to blame their parents for all their problems, or blame their parents for all their sins, or blame their parents for all their bad habits and addictions. I would certainly agree that parents can set a bad precedent. They can set a bad example. But you are still accountable for your own life. Brother Hebert didn't have a godly father. His father's still unsaved. We need to pray for him. He has cancer. We don't even know how long he'll get to live. But he didn't have a good, godly, saved father. He maybe had a decent father. Somebody who loved his wife. But he wasn't a saved man at all. He did things that, you know, wouldn't please the Lord and so on. But that didn't have to affect little Brian Hebert. No, when somebody brought him to church and brought him to Sunday school and he started riding a bus to church and then he got in a youth group and so on. Listen, as he grew up and as he then became an adult, he had to make choices for himself. And listen, what happened in the past or another generation, it doesn't have any effect on you. You for yourself, you're responsible for your actions. And you will answer for yourself when you stand before God one day. We can't blame our parents for anything that of what we are. Well, it's their fault. No, it's your fault. It's your fault. You are your own fault. You are what you are because you've chosen to be that way. You've chosen to do what you do. Nobody makes you the way you are but you. If you don't like something about yourself or the way you're living, then change the way you're living. Do right. If you're going to be known one day as a righteous person, then you must live righteously. Be careful about taking on the mentality that, well, it's just my surroundings, it's just my background that makes me spiritual or makes me righteous. Another thought, always stay focused on the fact that the way you live daily determines how righteous and spiritual you truly are. The way you live daily, determines how spiritual and righteous you are. We're not spiritual and righteous because we can come to church, be seen in church, you know. We're going to be spiritual and righteous by how we live day by day. How we live at home. How we live at work. Righteousness is never inherited. It's always lived. Righteousness is never inherited. It's always lived. Are you living a righteous life? You're not righteous. Well, so-and-so was righteous. That doesn't matter. Are you living righteous? We must choose to become a spiritual second generation, if that's what you are, or third generation, if that's what you are, or a spiritual first generation. If you didn't have spiritual parents, and you didn't have godly parents, or you didn't have a righteous generation that went before you, you choose to become a spiritual and godly and righteous person. Even if you did have some that go before you, again, that's not passed on to you. You choose. You choose. Maricar, thank God for what God did in your parents' life, and to have a mom now that's saved, and have a dad now that's saved, and they love the Lord. But that doesn't make you spiritual, right? That doesn't make you righteous. Their testimony doesn't somehow make you godly and so on. Right? All of us must live godly and choose to follow Him for ourselves. I think about Timothy. We talked about him and his mother and grandmother, I think back on Mother's Day maybe. But you know what else it said there about Timothy? Paul recognized him as somebody of an unfeigned faith. It wasn't faked, it was real. Which was first in your mother and grandmother, the Bible says, and I didn't quote it exactly. It was first his mother and grandmother that they were godly and righteous. But Paul said, I see it now in you, Timothy. I see an unfeigned faith in you. You know how Timothy had that? Because he chose for himself one day. Yes, thank God for the godly mother or godly grandmother that he had. There's no mention at all of a godly father, godly grandfather. It would seem like he didn't have that. But he didn't let maybe the negative influence of not having a godly father or the positive influence of having a godly mother and grandfather, that wasn't what determined his own life. His own life and his own faith was built because he made some choices and he made some decisions. I want that for me. I want that God that my mom has. I want that God that my grandmother prays to, tells me about. And you've got to decide that. You've got to choose to live for God and love God. Some of you have had godly and spiritual parents or grandparents, but that won't make you spiritual. You must walk with God for yourself. You must read your Bible and you must pray and you must choose to do the things that are pleasing to God. You must choose to love Jesus with all your heart. Listen, it's a sad testimony that when many people think of second or third generations of Christians, they think of some who maybe they're not as dedicated to the Lord as they could be, or their love for God is not really quite as passionate and quite as wonderful as maybe that first generation Christian was. That's a sad thing. You need to choose. I know that in my life I'm at least a third generation Christian, if not more, possibly much more. I never knew my great-grandparents and so on, but my grandparents, they were godly. They were righteous. My parents were godly. They were righteous. But I had to choose for myself. I had to choose for myself. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 3, the Lord says, the Bible says, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord made this covenant not just with our fathers, but with us. Not just with our pastor, but with us. Not just with Moses, but with us. Not just with some spiritual leader, but with us. Not just with a godly generation that went before us, but with us. He made the covenant with us. They personalized it. Are you making God personal? Is your faith personal? In this verse that I just read, the generation of the children of Israel, they were a second generation. It was their fathers who were the ones who refused to go into the promised land. So this generation ended up, as a result, wandering 40 years in the wilderness because of the sins of their fathers. This generation decided, you know what? I'm not going to let the sins of our fathers, I'm not going to let the sins of my mom and dad and their generation affect me. They may have made a wrong choice. They may not have loved God or loved God like they should and followed God, trusted God like they should. But I'm going to trust God. I'm going to follow God. I don't want to miss out on His covenant. I don't want to miss out on His promises to me. I don't want to miss out on God's blessings in my life just because another generation missed it. When Moses addressed this generation, he addressed them as a spiritual generation. There are some things that made this second generation a spiritual generation. A few thoughts quickly. Number one, they made their Christianity personal. They made their Christianity personal. Personal. Notice that they said, the Lord made this covenant with us. With us. They understood that they couldn't live off of mom and dad's spirituality. They realized they had to make it on their own. Listen, again, spirituality is not inherited. Just because your parents maybe were good Christians doesn't make you a good Christian. Too many young people believe, well, I'm spiritual because of my parents. Or I'm righteous because of my parents. No, you're not. No, you're not. The only way you'll make it as a second generation Christian is to make your Christianity personal. Personal. First generation Christians, make it personal. Second generation Christians, make it personal. Third generation Christians, whatever you are, make it personal. Make it personal. Claim God's promises that, hey, these are God's promises to me. These aren't just a book full of promises, you know, that were written 2,000 years ago and 2,500 years ago, and that was just for those people. No, this book was written for me in the 21st century. Is that what it is? 21st century, I think, right? Yeah, 21st century. It was written for me, and it's personal to me, and these are God's promises to me, and this is God's word to me. Make it personal. Make it personal. They made their Christianity personal. Number two, they learned from the previous generation. They learned from the previous generation. These people realized the mistakes of their fathers, and they did all they could to avoid making the same mistakes. One of the blessings of being a second generation Christian is that you can learn from the successes and failures of the previous generations. If you're wise, you'll avoid the mistakes that your fathers made and follow those patterns that were successful and that brought blessing. Learn from mistakes. Learn from the good things and the bad things. Number one, they made their Christianity personal. Number two, they learned from the previous generation. Thirdly, they made God's commands personal. They made God's commands personal. This generation understood, you know what? God's word is for us. What God has told, what God has said, it's for us. It's not just, well, that was good for those people a long time ago. No, it's good for you now, Christian. It's good for me now. If you're a child of God, hey, these commands are for you personally. They're for me personally. They're just not for all those people back then in the first century. They were different. No, it's good for us in the 21st century. Make the commands of God personal. They didn't just pass it off as something, well, I don't need that. That doesn't apply to me. They understood that God's commands were given to them as well. Second generation Christians must be careful about thinking that the commands from God for a previous generation just don't apply to them. God's warnings still apply to us, just like it did to previous generations. Number four, they made God's promises personal. They made God's promises personal. You'll never be successful as a second generation Christian until you make the promises of God personal. The same promises that your parents claimed are the same promises that you must claim. The same promises that my mom and dad and my grandpa and grandma that they claimed that they believed in, the same promises that they held to and trusted God and prayed big prayers and served the Lord. Listen, it was good for them. But it's good for me too. And we need to make it personal. Claim the promises of God. Believe the promises of God. They apply to your generation as well, and my generation, and we must claim them on our own. And there's number five. They made God personal. They made God personal. They made God personal. They made Him their own. This is the most important thing you must do to be successful. You cannot just, and should not, just serve God. Well, because my parents did. Some say, well, I'm such and such, or I'm Muslim, or I'm this, or I'm Hindu, or I'm Catholic, or I'm Christian, or, you know, they say whatever they are. Well, why are you? Well, because my parents were. Okay. Well, that was for them. And some of them wouldn't even know why that was. Listen. We need to know what we are personally because we've chosen it and we've chosen God and we've chosen to love God and we've chosen to follow God and we make it personal in our life. You You should not serve God simply because your parents served Him, but you must serve God because you choose to serve Him. Because you choose to serve Him. Joshua made that very clear to us. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. He came along behind. And he was one of those, Joshua and Caleb, that would remain alive. Two of the spies that did want to trust God and did want to lead the people in. And so as a result, they got to live through those that passed away in the wilderness. And they got to be among those that would help to lead the people into the promised land. And Joshua ended up making this statement in Joshua 24 and verse number 15. He said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve." Choose. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the land ye dwell, whose land ye dwell. But as for me, and my house will serve the Lord. But as for me, and my house will serve the Lord. Listen, every generation must make God personal. You must make God personal in your life. You must choose personally to follow God and love God and know God. You and I will fail as Christians if we are just trying to live off of some other generation's spirituality. We will fail if we're just trying to live off of the righteousness or the supposed Christianity of some other generation. We need to make it personal. Make God personal. Get to know God, love God, learn about God, follow God, read His Word, read His commands, read His promises, and claim them, live by them. I mean, make it personal. Make it personal that you will follow God. You need for yourself victories in the Christian life. You need for yourself answers to prayer. You need your own personal experiences and walk with God. Make God personal. Make His promises personal. Make His commands personal. Make His Word personal. Make it personal. You've got to choose. I can't choose for you. Parents can't choose for you. You've got to choose. You've got to choose. If you're going to be righteous, it's going to be because you choose to. You don't get to live off the coattails of some other generation. If you're going to be saved, even be a Christian, it's because you've chosen to believe, not because, well, my parents are a Christian. Doesn't make me a Christian? No. You've got to choose. Make God personal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask You, Lord, please,